Hey guys, welcome to the Years in Between
with me, Loretta Maria,
and me, Yacinta Jerry.
This is a podcast where we talk about our thoughts, feelings, and experiences in the years in between.
How's your week been?
It's been blessed. We just came off the back of Holy Week, and I feel like during Holy Week, not as expected, but I feel like most Christians felt very emotional this past week. Just really like understanding the sacrifice on the cross and just facing our gaze onto Jesus and just feeling in our heart like what he'd done for us, do you know what I mean? And just feeling like great praise, like great joy. For the reconciliation that we have now with the Father because of Jesus.
That's so true. Every time Easter rolls around, I think of the Easter that I spent in Ugandan boarding school. And the way in Uganda they go hard for Easter, well, the boarding school anyway, like the whole experience of the drums, the music, I was like, as an 8-year-old, I was like, church can be like this.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh my, like, I'd never felt so much like, whoa.
Yeah. I guess because you're used to like Catholic masses.
Yeah. And it's just like, amen. When you get like, Krista, what day am I? It was
There is like, on Sunday we praise before, during and after service. Even when I woke up, like, I literally said to my mom, like, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And I had
He is risen.
Amen. I had to praise, like, we literally have salvation because of the cross. Salvation because of his sacrifice. The blood that he shed for our sins. The perfect atonement. So, like, we have to praise.
Why not?
Have to.
Oh my gosh, my mum made, like, the most beautiful beef. Like, it was just, I can't even explain. And you know, I was going to make chapati.
Oh, really?
But then guess what? There was plain flour. But what was the other flour? The same red thing with bread flour. Like, brownie bread flour. Because my mum said that my dad likes to mix the two. And literally, I poured the remainder of the other plain flour. And I was like, okay, I need more. And there's only a little bit of the plain flour in the other packet. So I was like, calm, fresh pack. Because it looks exactly the same, but it's just different writing. Poured it. As soon as it hit the thing, I said,
what is that?
Then I read it, I said, it was a type of soup that was perfect for chapati. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I was so, like, hurt inside because the vision of the soft chapati and the, you know what, next time.
So, one.
Next time, man.
But yeah, that was really good. My church had a 2-day conference. It's called Camp Meeting, where I think he's a founder of the church. I think so. But like, bishop. We have several bishops, but he's like, the bishop. I believe he's a founder. He came down from Ghana, and he normally teaches us about like spiritual things, like gifts, callings, purposes, dreaming. This time around, he was just saying how Christians, we really shouldn't live a mediocre life. Like, we have the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18, I believe. We have the resources. Like, we live in a world that is not
bountiful with a lot of things.
Exactly. I was gonna say, like, it's not easy, but it's very accessible. Like, you can really like become wealthy off anything. So he was just saying, like, why should we continue, or why should people continue to live in poverty if you have like so many means around you? And even as Christians, like, we need finances to take care of the body of Christ, which is us, which is the church, which is the doings that, you know, the church does. What have you for them? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's what he was really like talking about, and how our bodies are meant to live in good health and good spirit, etc. So just going in on that. It was really good. And also church on Sunday. Yeah.
That sounds a very wholesome.
That was the highlights of my week. I mean, before then,
my week, you know what I was meant to go to? I want to go to, let me get it on my phone. It's like an exhibition. There's an exhibition going on in London for, I think it's this black woman. And I saw her TikTok. It came up and I screenshotted it. Basically, there's this lady who's doing an exhibition. No, it wasn't this lady. I think it's a man. It's like, it's a Ghanaian person, male, a Ghanaian man who's done this exhibition, and it's like, I've forgotten what it's showing, but it's just obviously, I think it's obviously got something to do with black culture, but like maybe black Ghanaian culture, just black culture in general. I can't remember. I saw this TikTok like earlier on in the week, and my brain's forgotten. I thought I screenshotted it, but it's in Grosvenor, it's at Grosvenor Hill, and I want to go and watch it. I was actually going to go, I think it was today I was going to go, but then my like schedule like ended up not working out. But I really want to go to like support, and it's for free, because a lot of the times, you know, the stuff you have to pay for, like the accessibility to such things and to show support is not typically easy to do so, where it's like ethnic artists, and it's really fun to be able to have the opportunity as like, you know, it's not like, I'm obviously we're young, but we're not that young, because if we had to pay for it, it wouldn't be that bad, because obviously we work and stuff. But younger people who don't have income like that, like young people of colour can actually go, or young people in general, like you don't have to be of colour to go and see it. It's quite like, I feel like it's quite nice. I really need to find it, because I want to like name of it.
When is it running till?
I really want to I'm so upset, like where is it? Because I was literally like, oh, I'm gonna mention it. Yeah. This is it.
So if you are free on the 1st, 2nd or the 3rd of May, I am hosting an exhibition at the Fire Pit Gallery down in Greenwich, basically advocating for young black girls to not be adultified, and for letting black girls to just be black girls, because we don't get that privilege sometimes, and it's really, really upsetting. So I thought I'd advocate for all of you guys to come through. I don't care whether you're in corporate, you're a crave, I don't give a heck what department, industry you're in, everybody and all people are welcome. The launch night is on the 1st at 6:30. I'll put the details down below and I'll put it all here. If you want to RSVP, please just DM me or just put a comment, you know, send a comment or whatever the influencers say. Send a comment, do you get it? Cool, love.
I want to go to that, and then I can't find the other one. Long day, it's gonna, I'm gonna have to scroll like so far back. But the other one was the Ghanaian guy that I'd mentioned. But yeah, my sister, I got the M&S cookies. My sister yammed them. And when I was asking her
this
about
this is becoming
them,
a trend.
You know what? There was one left.
And I had your stuff.
And I could have brought it for you. But because I didn't come straight here. Sorry, my sister. Sorry. Next time, yeah? But yeah, that's been pretty much my week. Yeah, I didn't. Oh my gosh, my sister, she went out yesterday, and she like, she can't do a slick back on herself. Like she just never. She could never get it quite right, I don't think. So I did it for her. Guys, when I tell you this, like, the slick back looked good. Like it looked really good. It looked calm. But when I tell you the fit, oh, I tried to get this girl to take a picture. I don't know if she took a picture. I was on FaceTime to our cousin, and she was even like, whoa, like, to my sister, like, whoa, you look, like, it was the Kylie Jenner type dress, you know, the one that has, like, the thingy, and her body was looking 10-10, the heels were giving, yeah, the earrings, everything, face card, boom, like, it was,
bombastic.
I was just like, bro, and she was feeling quite, like, because she was starting to get ill, but she ate down. I said, birthday girl, watch out.
Why didn't she take a pic?
She's used lace.
Oh,
anyway, moving on to the bag. Yinka, where is your husband? Okay, so guys,
are you gonna hit your kids?
No, I don't think any sort either. Of emotion should be resolved
by violence.
Yeah, use of violence, because it demonstrates that it's allowed and it's not.
Yeah, and also I think it shows the lack of your emotional management. Yeah,
like it, I feel like it makes people think that it's okay to, like, it makes people think it's okay to hit. When you get into the workplace and things don't go away, you're not gonna have the opportunity to hit, to punch a wall, to,
you
none
can't
of that.
No,
open your mouth,
you've got to resolve things with your words. Yeah, with
yeah, that's the thing. It's hard, but it's better to learn and make mistakes while you're doing it, and then get better than to just hit. Yeah, no. If I ever caught anyone,
I was not hit. I was not beaten.
I can't say the same. cannot say the same. But you know, now like looking back, like you know when it's like a mix for like a funny story, hee hee ha ha, but
it's actually trauma.
Yeah, like I won't hee hee, like my kids won't hee hee ha ha the same way with like other kids if they're getting beat. No, they won't be able to relate. No, like, oh, your mum hit, no, your dad, no.
I've heard stories that people, like, mum's parents have, like, thrown shoes at someone's head before. Crazy. I've not had anything of the sort.
Must be nice, must be nice. But, you know, I survived it, thank God. But it's not, guys. Look, anyway, onto the book. Let me just.
But I wouldn't know, like, people have, like, the same.
Yeah, they know.
Background, they will understand.
Yeah, especially if you're African.
Even Caribbean.
Yeah, true. I guess yeah, but I feel like people in colour in general.
Yeah.
Last week we told you we were reading to the end of April.
I didn't get to the end of April. I got to like 2 pages before that.
Okay, that's.
But fair. I still got the tea.
I'll be asking, I've got my questions for her as per usual, guys.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's what we read to. Quite a big revelation happened
yeah.
in this chapter that wasn't expected, I didn't think.
Not at all.
I was a bit like, I literally was like, like I didn't.
I gasped even more. More my
jaw was on the floor.
Yeah. Compared to Alex's, I like Nana.
Yeah, heavy on that. I was like,
all 32 teeth were showing of mine.
Ah, no, for real, because I just said, only
my full front.
But this one, I said, honestly. Okay, so the questions I have.
I said, Michelle.
Is that Ghanaian? Huh? That sounds Ghanaian, though, you said that.
You know when you type.
Yeah.
So I'm just like typing.
That's how, like,
Michelle.
I see bear. I guess all African, but like, typically I see a lot of Ghanaians do that.
Michelle.
I thought it was Michu, like I read it as Michu.
But I feel like, I'm not the same, Michelle.
My dad could, I remember when I was younger, he used to kiss his teeth, could hear it from like, the other side of the world.
I don't even know if I could do it properly.
Yeah, that's good enough. If I'm like,
it's not enough woman, like.
But I don't do it that often though.
Yeah.
Like,
I got,
yeah, like
I'm all of that.
But I'll do it for my kids. Like my kids will be like,
oh,
like, do you know what I mean?
I don't think I can. They won't be like, come on, shut up.
Would you let your kids see that?
No.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Am I your age mates?
Yeah, like when.
Am I your age mates?
That's one thing though that I like having like the accent. Like,
yeah, I wish I low-key had it, like.
Like, the way my parents, like, my mum, she has, like, Ugandan accent. So, when she, like, the way she'll switch to Ugandan, just cuss people, yeah, that is crazy. Yeah.
I actually wish I
there's, like, certain things.
I think I'd go deep in it, like.
Like, there's certain. But you know what I've realised? We need to go into the book, because we've been talking so long. But, you know, I feel like swearing only ever really holds the weight of a swear word when you really understand the language. Like, you really, like, typically, I feel like when it's your first language, like swearing in English, if someone's sort of be like, whoa. Whereas, like, I know what swearing is in Uganda, but other than the weight of how the word sounds, the meaning of it doesn't hit me. Like, if someone.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't hit me the same way, but.
I get you. My new one is, if I could swear, I would swear. If I could swear, I would swear.
I don't know what you mean. Why can't you swear?
Because I don't swear.
But if you could, you would. But you can't.
But I don't swear.
But you're saying if you could, you would.
But
do you want to?
No.
So I'm confused because you're like, if you could swear, you would swear, but you don't.
Instead of like, let's say I hit my toe on like the corner of my bed. Mm. Instead of saying, oh, F-bomb.
Yeah.
I'm now gonna say, if I can swear, I would swear.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't swear.
Why don't you say frick?
I do say frick, but people are like, I'm like, I said frick. I said frick.
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 With the R-I.
Fricking. Even like, that's why I've substituted the F-bomb with sod. Like, I'll sod it. Instead of
F-ing. Sod's quite, I feel like, depending.
No, on. Don't not ruin sod for me. Because I've got a way of using the word sod. please sod it.
Oh, don't say that to me. Anyway, okay, first question. This is page 251. If we could turn to 251, please, everyone. This is when Yinka is writing writing emails back and forth to the man who's meant to be helping her with finding a job, because the person that was initially helping her,
the recruiter,
has like got a new job and is leaving, and it's just like, I'll leave you in the very capable hands of my colleague.
He's now on holiday.
Yeah, but my question is, you know, I feel like it's common, I feel like a lot of people have experienced, if you know, you're in the working world, I can't really remember, I don't really know if you sent emails too tough like that while in school, but maybe uni students,
I don't, you think you sent emails in school.
Yeah, not really, but I feel like uni students would probably be able to relate to. But in situations where like somebody reaches out to you for something, yeah, you get back to them and then you respond with whatever it is that you respond with, but you need their response back to what you said. And then cool, they come and respond back, then you respond again, you still need a response back, but they suddenly fall off the face of the earth. How do you feel about certain situations, or like even just messaging someone, like you're going back and forth, and then they fall off the face of the earth, like they throw their phone into a ditch and they just can't reach. And they can't possibly reach, you know? How do you feel about such situations?
Obviously, one would be very irritated by that, like very frustrated. Mm.
Are you one to do that?
What?
Like,
throw my phone away.
Yeah, or like emailing like corporate type energy.
I feel like I give. Oh, so if I need an answer, I will locate them in the office. Yo, did you see my message?
Right.
Or like, just obviously, I don't speak like that in the workplace. Mm. I speak very. I'm just wondering if you saw my message. Mm.
Soft voice.
Yeah, soft spoken, because I am.
Yeah, you are.
Me too.
What she wants to be. But a lot of the time you are.
But yeah, I think locating them physically if you can. If not, giving them a phone call, because they can't ignore phone calls.
No, you better know, like, hello.
I mean, if you need an answer, then you need an answer. Of course, true. In Yinka's situation, it's a recruiter who has said explicitly that he's on holiday, he's on annual leave, so he's on break from work. He's not going to pick up a client's phone call, do you know what I mean?
But I guess because he didn't have that automatic respond back, so she was just sending and not getting a response, so she's like...
Hello, but he actually should have like had that automatic response, like I'm on holiday.
I've got a feeling though, when she says and I click delete, I feel like in the future it might come out that she clicks send and then he.
Oh.
I've got a feeling. I don't know. I just be imagining these situations, but yeah.
I don't know if Yinka's a klutz. Like, would she be clumsy enough to do that?
Yeah, I feel like she's going through a lot right now. I feel like she'd be like, oh, delete, but then literally hit send.
Yeah.
But.
We'll and see. The undo send, you can't undo, you know.
If after, you're like, not fast, yeah, if you jam for 1 second.
If you finish. Jam, like, if you don't hit the undo.
If you jam, you'll jam. It's okay. Just actually take that out and just, you know, keep your step in, because it's really truly long day. This one's kind of like, I guess because we were talking about being parents not too long ago, like literally at the beginning of this episode. So if we go to page 271 to 273, okay, so this is where Yinka finally confesses jobless and
the man
Alex
that
is not gonna be her husband.
Her mom's like,
I can hear it, like,
as she's like, happening. This cannot be happening, this cannot be happening. Yeah.
Like, I could actually hear it.
Imagine her like, oh, Jesus!
Yeah, like,
oh, yes,
the dramatics of, like, the whole scenario happening in real life.
I feel like, just to laugh at the face of my children, I will embarrass them a little bit, small.
I don't know, I'm a bit weird about embarrassing, like...
Not to an extent like
that. It
depends
on how old they are.
I think, it depends on how old and it depends on the scenario. If it's a scenario like this, like Yinka's, absolutely no way. Like, that's empathy and sympathy, you know, given, you know?
Situation, the context,
But if it's like, I don't know, my son has a little crush on the yellow one.
But yeah, that's like cutesy, like, you know, little child's play, like, yeah. Oh, he's got a... But not to the point where they don't feel comfortable telling.
Yeah, of course.
But...
Of course. I'd be very jokey.
Yeah, you are quite jokey, like, by nature, so...
It's only
right. It's only right, Caesar. But, yeah.
It's good to, like, banter
have
your
that
kids.
Type of relationship with your kids.
It's character building.
And I feel like it also means that as you get older, like, you sort of have that little bit of a... Like a not too much banter because at the end of the day, yeah, but there's that sort of banter where it's like as they become an adult, it's that comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
But how was this kind of, I guess, goes back to earlier on in the book, but just because this scenario has come out as a result, how would you feel to find out that your child has been hiding secrets from you?
I'm gonna put myself in the shoes,
or your child lied to you.
I'm gonna put myself in the shoes. Other mother, because I'm not mother yet. But I would say I'd be very like upset or hurt that they didn't find trust. They didn't trust in confiding in me. They didn't want to confide in me. If it's from a perspective of they felt like I would be disappointed in them, that still would really hurt me. But if it's like that would really hurt me. But if it's from I don't know, I
if they weren't ready to tell you, for example.
Yeah, okay, if they weren't ready to tell me, then I would I would understand and I would respect that that's the boundary that they created. Like, when they're ready to tell me, they will let me know. But also I'd really like enforce that I'm your mum, I'm here for you, and I will always be here for you no matter what. So
yeah, I entirely agree. Like, I'd be a bit like, oh, like, you didn't feel safe enough to come and share that with me, because at the end of the day...
I'd probably weep. But I'm just dramatic.
Oh, no, but, like, I hear that, though, because I feel like, obviously, not all people have this experience, but I feel like a good, healthy majority of people, like, a mother's love, like... knows no bounds and matches no other. Amen. So it's just like the love you would have for your kid, and you're like, why, like, me out of all people, you like, don't want to tell me, like do you know what I mean, like, number one fan. So I get what you mean, like, the whole, like, you'd feel hurt. But then I'd also, like, mentioned before, I'd hear them out and try to understand at what angle they were, like, perspective they were at with their head and their whole process and wanting or holding back from letting me know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that question.
I think I would really drill in my kids, like, before you speak to anybody, whether it be myself, my husband, their friends, their cousins, you guys, I'd be like, make sure you speak to God first, like, whatever worry you have, just, like, bow your head, I don't know, sit down, just speak to the Lord and tell him how you feel, and he will guide you.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'd also say maybe write it down.
Yeah.
So you can, like, sometimes some things don't need to be rationalized, but when you see it written down, you can see it from a different perspective, from being in your mind to paper. So that would be, like, a nice way to do it, I think.
I think it also separates, it doesn't really separate, but it allows the, detachment from your emotions.
Yeah.
Like, when you write things down, you're seeing it as, like, as you said, what it is, and rather than what you want it to be.
Yeah, 100%. I entirely agree with that. Like, that whole detachment needs to happen sometimes, so you can just see it for what it is.
Wow. Allows a clearer head.
Yeah. On the other side, somewhat, but, like, as an auntie, if your niece asks you to keep a secret from their mum, would you keep it? As a godmother, even, as well, because you are a godmother, like, if your niece, your goddaughter, came to you and told you something and said, please don't tell my mum,
it depends on the severity. Like, if they're telling me something that's very life-threatening or borderline, like, I don't know.
Would you not feel... Because then think of it, like, I guess, thinking from being the shoe on the other foot, obviously I understand you want to keep loyalty with your, like, goddaughter, your niece, your nephew, whoever, but wouldn't you think, like, as a mum, whenever you do
they
have kids,
need to know.
You would want, like, would you not feel betrayed by the auntie for not, because also I'm seeing it like, oh, maybe the auntie and niece or auntie and whatever, nephew, whatever, have a really good relationship and cool. But, like, do you think it's right to be keeping as, like, a... right to be keeping parents secrets from
I get you.
Parents?
I think, again, it depends on the secret that's been shared with me. Mm. If it's a secret that's, like, I don't know, God forbid, but let's say... Nah, God forbid. Let's say someone confides in their auntie and says that my boyfriend is cheating on me and he abuses me.
Mm.
Oh, for sure I'm snitching and we're gonna, you know, collect everybody and we're gonna have a mother's meeting with you because that's not something you're gonna tolerate.
Mm.
Not under my watch. But I think it's if it's like Yinka's situation, like she had lost her job and she's told me as her auntie, she's like, please don't tell my mum yet, or like, please don't tell my mum, I want to tell my mum myself. I think with that, I'm going to respect it. And
but then what if, for example, in the same way we know Yinka's mum feels very like not strongly, but she obviously wants good for her kids. Everyone wants good for their kids. But it's like, if you knew that your niece or nephew or whoever's mum felt very strongly about careers and having a job and doing that and really wanting their child to be secure in that way, and then finding out that their daughter or their son is now like made redundant when they believe that they got promoted, would you feel like you should tell them because of how they feel so strongly about that certain thing, even though in the grand scheme of everything it's not like a major
I get you. I it wouldn't be my place to say it. It'd be my niece's place to say it to her mum, like, I've lost my job.
Would you advise and be like, yeah, you have to tell your mum?
I definitely would advise, like, look, I won't.
I love that sound. It makes you feel warm on the inside. I don't know what it is. It makes you feel like a nice summer day. Sorry, carry on.
You're like dancing around the kitchen.
Such
advice. But I would advise my niece, nephew, to tell their mum.
Yeah.
I would say, like, I'm going to respect your boundary, but look, you need to tell your mum, because we know that she feels so strongly about this. But I would also pray that the conversation between my niece or nephew goes well with their mum, because if she feels so strongly, so passionate about their profession and their career, then she... Not, obviously, that's their mum, like...
Yeah.
You know, as you said before, like, there's no love compared to mother's love, etc. But, like, she may give advice from her heart rather than her head, which could be the reason they're deterred. What's the word? Be the reason why they're
deterred from telling
their mum.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a smart response, I think. You do it well.
Yeah, what would you do? If it was
I feel like I'd basically exactly the same. Like, if it's something, if I'm obviously got a good relationship, or I'd imagine I'd have a good relationship with kids. And I guess, yeah, it depends. It really depends on what it is. But I do feel like...
You would know my response before.
Yeah, I guess because obviously we know each other so well. So it would sort of be like, I'd know what the whole like angle is. Like, if it's something I would tell you, but I'd also be like, at the end, like, that's your baby, like, I feel like if obviously we both had kids, whatever, the whole thing of understanding, like, because I would also view them as literally like my kids too, so it's like, this is complicated. But if you felt strongly about the situation, I'd be like, yeah, like, you're gonna have to tell your mum, like, you know how she feels about this. I understand that you're going through this like struggle, like trying time, but nobody's gonna come at you with more love than your mum is.
Exactly.
So even though obviously like I love you as my niece or nephew, that doesn't even match the amount that your mum loves you. So I think even if it may be a scary thing, just even getting that off your chest, like the weight of having that secret,
the
like,
truth sets you free.
Yeah, honestly.
I was just thinking, like, let's say, okay, cool, you have a son, right? He's 15. This is not something I'm like trying to manifest or put out there. But let's say, like,
right now.
Not, no, but I'm saying in this.
Oh, case, the actual scenario. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Rebuke it.
Let's say he got a girl pregnant at like 15, but. Because he.
That wouldn't be possible.
Amen. But yeah, and he told me and my partner. Mm. Let's say he goes football with my partner. Mm. And he told him.
Mm, obviously he tells you.
And he tells me, and I'm like, oh sugar. I hope
that phone gets picked up real quick to tell me.
I'm like, oh sugar. How would you like? No, I was meant to reverse it. Yeah, so let's
say. So if it was my your son,
yeah,
and then If it was your, if it was the other way, so your son, and then went with my partner to football, and then my partner told me that he got a girl pregnant, I would talk to your son first and be like, I do have to tell your mom. Like, I can't hide this information. Yeah. No, I wouldn't even be like, I have to tell her. I'd be like, you need to tell your mom. Like, I don't want to be the one to tell her, but if you don't tell her, I'm going to have to tell her, because whatever this scenario is, whatever route they're going to take, your mum needs to be a part of this. Because at the end of the day as well, you're underage. So this is a safeguarding issue too.
Yeah, auntie.
I'd be there like, yeah, tell her.
Or tell her.
Yeah, tell her, or she's going to be told. Like,
do you want to be silenced or silenced?
So, yeah, that's what I do.
I respect that.
What would you do?
What if, like, would you tell me that you knew? Let's say he tells me that very night, would you tell me that you knew? Or would you, like, leave it like, that's their family affairs, I'm going to leave it at, like that? Like, if he doesn't tell me, like, oh, I told auntie.
That's a bit of a tricky one. I think I would tell you, because then if it comes down later down the line, being like, if you guys go into an argument, like, yeah, you see, I don't know why Auntie Loretta made me tell you. I'm like, yay, so you're not coming to you. Me was trying to, you know, safeguard the situation, is now being shot at. No way. So I'd be like, if you called me, you'd be telling me. Exactly. I'd be like, oh. I'd be like, how would I even tell you? I'd just be like, yeah, he actually did tell my partner about the situation, and I advised him to tell you, or I was going to tell you. That's how I'd do it.
Yeah.
Now we've even gone over this hypothetically. God forbid it won't happen. If it ever comes up, I've really told you now how I'm going to handle the situation. So, I think the heck, if it's 20 years from now, she knows how it's going
to
go down.
How about, like, reverse? Like, would you want me to tell you as soon as the person, like, your daughter or your son tells me? Or would you want me to give them the opportunity to tell you?
Give them the opportunity. Okay. Because I want them to feel that experience of having to tell your parents something daunting. Obviously, there's different things, but the magnitude, bringing a child into the world is quite a big thing. Obviously, like, the magnitude is very heavy in comparison to a lot of other things. But, like, for example, if for, like, a young kid, failing a test, like, at that stage in life can seem very big. Obviously, a child is a lot bigger, but doing those things and coming to your parent and feeling like, okay, I'm terrified to tell them. But yeah, I'd really want the opportunity for them to tell me, because I just think it just makes the bond stronger.
Yeah.
No matter the hardship of it all.
I agree.
If we go to page 282, please. Okay, so at this point, Nana is in hysterics over the fact that Ola is in hysterics over the fact that Alex likes Nana instead of Yinka. Like, she was just like, oh, Nana. And she was there laughing, all this. And my question for you all today is, how would you feel if a person in your community laughed at you for your sufferings, or laughed at your suffering?
Obviously, I'd be very upset.
But it's, I guess in this scenario, like, close-knit, like, obviously you'd be upset, but it's one thing if someone laughs at you, but, like, this is your close circle, your people, them. Like, how would you handle it? Like, how would you feel? How would you handle that situation?
Ooh, okay. I would say, like, before coming to Christ.
Let's get the both sides.
So before Christ, I'd probably, like, lash out without even thinking about what the things I would say. Like, I'd probably just, like, be like, what's very funny? Be very response. Confrontational, yeah. Like, direct. Not maybe not direct, but maybe passive. Mm. I think I would, like, go below the belt. I think I would say...
Oh, she will keep going.
Yeah. I think I would say something that, of course, would trigger them.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, well, it's not funny now, is it?
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Let's ha ha together now.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think now, I think I'll just have to leave the room.
Okay, that's good. So you can, like, regulate and just...
Yeah, I'd have to leave the room. And I think with, like, reading the Bible, with the transformation, with what we read the other day, The Courage to Be Disliked, knowing that there's a God in everything, most things. And if she's laughing, obviously, to, like, trigger me, she's, like, to...
Like, what was your reason? Like, why did she do that? Like,
yeah,
what
I think
was the goal for that?
Go away and, like, analyze and evaluate all of that, and then come back when I'm more of a, like, a sound mind and respond, like, accordingly, appropriately.
Can you explain why you
you find that so humorous?
Yeah, love the humorous. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? So why did you find that so humorous?
Why? Oh yeah, what's funny? Like, being open, like, vocal, and say, like, I didn't really like that you offended me, but because of my new nature, I'm going to forgive you. But I don't like that.
That's fair. Me, on the other hand, I'd be like, if it was something like this, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd be like, what's funny? And then I'll just cut you out of my life.
Yeah, you're quick.
Like, I'll actually...
Yeah, you wouldn't even... There's no, like... Is your, like, a silent, like...
Yes, yeah, silent. Yeah. I'll literally... I'll be like, you... Like, I just don't... I'm not, I don't want wahala, like, wahala, I don't want, I just want peace. Like, why are you laughing at my suffering? To me, that's telling me that you're a snake in, like, sheep's clothing. Like, I thought you were my friend, but you were here laughing at my suffering. So, you've been demoted and you've gone back to stranger.
Amen.
So, yeah. And I feel like even though it would be painful to do so, because, you know, friend breakups are worse, I feel,
yeah,
like, than anything.
Because there's a lot of, like... Like, you've broken several layers. Like, you've not just broken, like...
This friendship. It's just, like...
Like, trust.
Yeah, like...
Confidence.
The memories that we have, you've, like, memories, distorted them. Because it's, like, did you actually enjoy it? Did you care? Did you, like... Was it fake?
Were you genuinely my friend?
Yeah. There's so many layers.
Like, yeah, like...
Or did you just want to be close to me so you could know what I was doing? So you could, like... And, like, in the know type thing?
Again, if we, like, look at the weight of what a friend is... And for a friend to laugh at you in such,
and they know so much about you,
of suffering,
yeah,
that's a whole chunk of your life. Not like removed, deleted, but it will be, as you said, distorted, because that person is not the person that you thought that they
would be. Everything moving forward is tainted, like,
yeah,
and like just like a sense of paranoia about it. It's just like
really, like, create, yeah, and fester. Severe trust issues that would translate into not just so many relationships, but yeah,
everything is crazy. It's crazy.
Oh. Know your friends, man.
Oh, 283, 28 to 284. Cinta, do you want to say what happened here?
Yenka finally lashes out at Ola, I guess, with the whole build up of
just her taking a minute. Like, she cussed her out at the, not cussed her out, she called her out at the baby shower,
yeah,
and then at the Nando's thing. They had, like, a whole back and forth thing situation, and now
there's just been a lot of tension. Like, tension that Yinka suppressed because she tried to preserve the relationship. Well, she was preserving the relationship between herself and Ola until it got to a point where they were laughing at her.
Ola specifically. Ola was laughing
at her because Alex no longer, well, Alex didn't like Yinka. He liked Nana. You get the gist. So Yinka finally plucks up the courage. I don't know what she said, but she finally plucks up the courage and lashes out at Ola, and everyone's taken aback because, oh, that's not Yinka. She's normally the one to, like, you know, keep quiet and apologize, even though it would be Ola. So yeah, that happened, and then Yinka said the maddest secret of it all.
Because at this point, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
The
Remember,
whole situation.
I think a couple episodes ago, we were talking about how Rachel told Yinka about, like,
what John did to Ola. John being Ola's husband.
Yeah,
they never mentioned what it was.
Yeah, Yinka says in front of everybody that John wanted Yinka originally.
She said, John wanted me!
This is some EastEnders shenanigans.
Honestly, my Jordan.
Yeah, like, I said, hey, what? Hey, you there?
I know you over there. I want you to come here. Now, where's that from?
I don't know. But that was, yeah, when Yinka said that.
But the key thing to mention there is this was right before Ola was about to tell John that she was pregnant, but then John came to Ola being like, oh, I need to tell you something, like, I like someone else, and then proceeds to tell, obviously, what Cinta said, and then Ola's like, well, I'm pregnant with your baby. And then obviously, I guess,
I want to know how he got involved with the cousin. Like, imagine a man getting involved with the two of us. Wouldn't,
I guess,
because
it was at uni,
but wouldn't we know?
But she wasn't, they weren't involved. He just admired her from a distance, and he liked her from a distance. That, like, he liked, I guess, her natural look, the natural aesthetic, and found out later at a later stage that it was Yinka. Yinka was shocked by that information. She was like, and obviously, I guess it made sense why Ola was hating on her, but hate on your man. Like, Ola's not, Yinka's not trying to take your man. It's not, and the thing is, Yinka's like, I haven't even had a conversation with him, like, other than him complimenting on her hair maybe a couple times. They haven't, like, had, like, a proper one-on-one type situation. So, really and truly, the hate is meant to, not even hate, but, like, the anger or resentment is meant to be targeted towards your man.
Yeah.
Because Yinka was none the wiser until Rachel told her the situation, so there's a misdirection here. I still don't like Ola. If you even find this out, I'm like, okay, but direct it to your man.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm not a fan of Ola. Her characteristics are really bad.
Very. But yeah, so in relation to this, my question is, do you think her outburst was justified?
Who, Yinka's?
Yeah.
I think it was a built-up response, which to the receiving end would be unjustified. Mm-hmm. However, to Yinka, it would be like, look, yo, like, this is
too many chips on
this
the shoulder.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I think I wouldn't say it was justified nor unjustified. I think it's just a lesson for Yinka to learn, like, when situations arise and she feels a certain way, just
there's a time and a place.
Yeah, say it.
Because again, this is, was it the Rachel's wedding shower?
Yeah.
Is it a wedding shower?
Bridal shower.
Bridal shower, I was thinking.
So, in all, she basically ruined the day.
And what's crazy is that they ended up linking up again to going somewhere else afterwards, everyone, and
didn't tell Yinka.
I can't lie, that relates to my next question that I have for you.
Did you think it was justified?
To an extent, but again, there's a time and a place, and yeah, the time and the place was entirely too wrong. Like, it made it unjustified purely because it was someone else's bridal shower, and it just was not, it wasn't the place at all for that to be had, considering the last time when they had that link up as the bridal party, there was another situation between her and Ola, and it's like, I know it's not particularly Yinka's fault because Ola does act out in such ways, and it's like, you can only take somebody acting out on you so many times.
Yeah.
So I hear it, but again, there's a time and a place. You could have pulled her aside and said, I didn't like that you were laughing, but you know, we can talk about it later. This is obviously Rachel's time, this is Rachel's day. Cool. But yeah, the way she was swearing up and down the place, she banged out, she crashed out.
No, she did crash out.
Because I think everything, all the cards in the house fell down. Like, Alex, her, obviously her mum, Kemi's just given birth. Her mum publicly praying again, saying, we hope your new job and your boyfriend. And it's just, like, too much.
I think it's easy to make... Oh. I'm trying to find the words. You know when Kemi gave birth and she was like, oh, congratulations, but she didn't want to make it about her. It's easy to make other people's life about Yinka because she's going through
something. I get what you're saying. So like using Yinka's hardship, but like, yeah, that's actually quite hard to say.
Yeah, like,
yeah, Kemi's giving birth, but it's like, oh, but Yinka's older and she's not married and she hasn't got kids.
She's being conceited. Is it conceited the right term? Is she?
But conceited is when you're like,
very
better than, like, yeah, I've got everything goody, like.
I think she's been very.
Who, Yinka?
Yeah.
Making, oh, okay, I see. So making other people's life, like,
about her.
Yeah, hardship. She's being very, oh, I know what you say.
She's
it's like selfish, yeah, but it's like
pitiful.
Yeah, like they're yeah, very pitiful, like pathetic in the sense that like you're victimizing yourself in every scenario.
Finally we got there. She's being a victim. She's allowing herself to be a victim, and that's one thing my mum doesn't like. But she's
it's true that it's not every day be victim.
Yeah, and I think if she was to get out the quote unquote victim mindset for a little bit, especially when it's people's big day, for example, Kemi's birth of her first child, Rachel's bridal shower.
Because she ran out of Kemi's thing because of the whole thing.
And she texted her, that was a lame text.
Yeah, like, it's literally your sister's giving birth for the
And she's like, oh, I need to wash my hair.
Like, I get you're going through it, but just sometimes put it to the side and just be
Be like happy for everybody else. Like, because your time will come.
And then happiness will be vital into your life too.
Exactly. I was also going to say that I wouldn't say there's a... No, there is, though. If we're being real. There's a spirit of, like, envy there.
Between Yinka and all the other people around her. Like, she was envious of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yes, especially with, like, low-key with Nana.
Yeah.
Because she's there, like, Alex wants yo.
Yeah.
She's aromatic. Like, it was giving...
And...
You know?
I think envy, the spirit of envy is there. And it will be it'll be fed into if she keeps on victimizing her life. If
she needs to break free of the victimhood, man.
She does. She just needs to be happy for people and just really like, I don't know, ask God to clean her heart.
The guidance she needs,
And whatever you think, so it shall be. Like, so if Yinka thinks that she, I don't know, won't get a man or she's desperate, she's gonna like
betray herself in that way. Does like blocks that from you know. She's wishing on herself, but you know, last two to page 286. It links to Yinka. Like, how would you? I guess it kind of you've kind of answered it because you see it from a lens of her Yinka being a victim. But I put down, how would you handle always being made to be in the wrong? Because when she eventually does get free to Rachel after this whole outburst and leaving and everything,
Rachel's
like rude and like ice cold, like you said. And then Yinka's like, but you're always on her side, her being Ola. Like, you're never on my side. And to be fair,
it's true.
It is true. Like, every time something's happened, Rachel's always sided with Ola. And but it's like, very much so, why am I always the one who's being bad when it's literally Ola banging out about me? So how would you handle always being made to be like the target?
The target. I think I would have to distance myself. Because in that, the relationship is not balanced anyway. It's basically two against one, and it always has been two against one.
Yeah, like
Rachel and Ola have a stronger relationship than Yinka and Ola, or Yinka and Rachel. Mm. Rachel and Yinka do have a good relationship, but it's not as strong as Rachel and Ola.
When push comes to shove.
Exactly. So I think that should be an eye-opener to Yinka to say, like, yeah, there are my peoples, but I think we should create some boundaries here. Because if she's always the targeted one, if she's always the one that's deemed to be the bad guy, then she needs to just separate herself from that. And I think that's what I'll do naturally if I see there's a common trend in like me being the one as the target
every time
of the
problem,
bad person
and
it's always two
always.
Against them against me. No, sorry,
it's
I'm
too
gonna
stressful
separate. Yeah, I would be anxious around them all the time, and that's not a relationship.
That's so true.
A friendship that I'd want to be around.
The anxiety would be crazy because you're constantly like, if I say this, are they going to do that? Like, are they going to lash out? That's not a way to be. So I completely agree. Like I said before, I will.
Deuces.
And last but not least, guys, if we turn to 290, which is the last page of April.
Yinka did do wrong, though. She used the secret that Rachel told her to leverage. But also, Rachel shouldn't have told her a secret that her close friend told her. Like,
but the fact that Rachel was like, I can see that Ola is banging out on you too much. Ola is like literally hitting, like throwing bullets at you too much.
But here's the reason.
That in itself, the fact that she felt okay enough to tell her just shows, like, Yinka's not crazy for feeling like
Ola's.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, now you've told me, but it's like, so now must I just keep taking these bullets because that man?
I wonder if Yinka's told Ola, like, girl, you need to slow down, take it easy.
Considering how she bangs out, she probably would have.
See, some being friends with someone that's unstable, I can't do.
Every day, are you gonna scream or shout? Mm-mm. You need to go to emotional management class. So yeah, page 90. So this is where okay, first, but it's basically where Nana basically comes to Yinka and be like, yeah, it wasn't okay what you did, like the whole thing. And then Yinka's not really hearing it, she's just scrolling on her dating apps, like she's so bored.
Oh, she's on Hinge now.
Yeah, she's like, and she sees Donovan actually on Donovan's profile on Hinge, and she's there laughing at what he says, because he says, as his like one sentence statement, you should message me if you can hold a conversation. And she just goes, typical. Like, them two?
Slaky.
But anyway, Nana's like, you need to go to counselling, basically. And Yinka's like, no, I don't. Like, I don't want to. I'm not doing that. And then Nana's like, here's this person. Like, I think they work with them. No, she's just, I think her co-worker recommended him. And then Yinka's like, Nana, you're overreacting. And then Nana's like, call him first thing on Monday. And then Yinka's like, oh, what? And then Nana's like, oh, I'll move out. Because obviously with her redundancy, I assume that she would appreciate somebody else paying half of the rent. But yeah, Nana's like giving that ultimatum of being like, get help or, you know. So my question here is, how would you handle such feel and intervention? From like family, from like friends,
of course one would feel attacked. Of course,
but from the lens of like Yinka especially, because in this place, like, Ola's the one who's been lashing out. Really truly, Ola's the one who needs
Ola is
Yinka could, everyone could do therapy, to be so real, but Ola needs it more than Ola and John need to go to couples therapy, and then Ola needs it separately for herself too. Yinka needs it too, all of them need it. But I guess in general, but also if you look at it from the lens of Yinka, like, how would you feel always being painted to be the bad guy? You've obviously lashed out at one of your best friends' bridal showers, and now your other best friend's saying, go to therapy, or I'm not going to help you with the rent. Like, I'm going to abandon you, basically.
That would definitely make me want to, like, just run off the... run away, like...
Literally?
Yeah.
Where's the cliff? I'm going to jump off it.
I'm not going to find a cliff, but... find one mountain to just like
honestly like
consecrate myself.
No, but for real, like, it's like she's just getting
daggers, but, right,
but it's like victimhood, because I hear what you're saying, but
yeah, that's what she's invited though.
Do you think like, so
she has enough evidence here to say this is why I'm a victim and this is why I'm gonna stay a victim?
Well, yeah, that's so true.
But back to your question, I would feel attacked. However, if...
Would you appreciate it?
I feel like if I do it and I feel better...
Would you see it from the bigger picture?
Would I see it from the bigger picture in the beginning? Probably not.
Mm.
But probably through the process, I would.
Would it depend on who came to you with the intervention?
It would depend on who came to me with the intervention.
Kind of a fact. If someone who should be like, okay, I should just go about my life.
Yeah, like...
but yeah.
I would book you.
Back to sender.
Back to sender.
Honestly.
Have you thought about yourself?
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it depends on who comes to me with that idea. And I think... Also, the deliverance. Like, if they're saying 100%. It the way Nana said it.
She's like, do it or I'm gone.
Mama, like, bye, then bye. Bye. Goodbye.
But then your savings going to be by the rent.
My mom, hi. I'm moving back in.
Oh, right.
But maybe that's just very prideful.
We,
you know, we got to eliminate the pride. So, sever it off.
That's so true.
Yeah, it doesn't get you anywhere. Basically, the prideful would be humbled and the humbled would be exalted.
And in literature, they call it hubris.
Hubris.
I forgot what it's called, but it's like a Bildung's Roman. It's like you learn something. I think the character learned something, maybe you learned something, but it's, if you've got too much hubris, you're going to fall from grace, man. You're going to fall.
You will fall, and you'll fall from quite high up because you'll feel like you're quite high up. And it'll be hard for you to get back up, but you'll get back up surely. That's why it's always just to be...
to be humble.
Amen, exactly.
And I guess just hear it from, like, really and truly, Yinka could have been like, okay, I hear that, let me... But I guess Rachel and Ola aren't in her life right now, but I would have maybe gone to my sister and been like, bro, like, this friend has come and said that I need to go counselling. Like, do you feel like that's something, like, do you think, I guess you present yourself differently to your friends, or you interact differently to your friends than you do your siblings.
Very relational.
But, exactly. But I think just having that perspective, like, do you think I need, like, therapy? Like, is there, you know? And maybe hearing it from somebody who's a lot closer to you. I feel like maybe she's closer to Nana, but, like, because it's your sibling, and your sibling's going to tell you straight, like, no sugar. So I think, yeah, that could maybe be a solution that she could have gone down, rather than just literally not caring and not even, like, interact with her, just swiping. When she was there swiping the phone, if I was talking to someone, especially my friend, my close friend, my best friend, and they're just there swiping on their phone and not giving a heck, that I would actually just get annoyed, like, okay, let me just take myself, I'm going home. Like, yeah. But Nana's a real friend, though. She wants the best for you and Carl.
I would get annoyed as well. However, sometimes I am that person.
Oh.
But I realise I'm doing it and I put my phone down immediately. I can't multitask. Like, I can't listen to you and text. It has to be one or the other. So if I need to reply to a text urgently, I think I would say that.
But I guess it just depends on how long you're on it. Like, obviously, it also depends on what the conversation is about.
Yeah, and what am I doing?
If I'm literally telling, like, you about, oh, somebody's on a madness or whatever, something really crazy happens, and if you were there scrolling your phone, I'll just be quiet. I'm just the type to, I'll just be like, I'll just get quiet.
Yeah. I think I'd do the same as well.
Yeah. If they ask you, it's fine, never mind.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. But anyway.
I was going to ask, like, do you think couples should get individual therapy before they get married?
I think individual and couples therapy. Mm. Because it's better to get therapy and work out ways of communication and conflict resolution before conflict becomes a regular thing and the option, like the willingness to resolve it, is less there because you're constantly in conflict.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. Especially you're doing life with someone. If you're doing life with someone, you're not the same person. You're two different people.
And you will continue to evolve.
Exactly. And having a third, like, party to be there and be like, okay, I hear your point. Have you, like, seen it from this perspective, whatever the heck that they be doing in the therapy sessions? But that will save, I don't know, 20 arguments that would be had because of a lack of understanding or communication that can transpire. So I 100% agree with therapy. Like, when, like, some people say if it's not broke, don't fix it, but why would you only fix it with, like, is it maintenance?
Yeah,
you just want to, every time you take your car to the MOT every year, service MOT every year, it's every the same, year.
Yeah, you're understanding what you could potentially be a problem.
Exactly. You care for it,
or because you need that in the bud quickly.
You paid for it, you put money into it in the same way. You didn't pay for the relationship because that.
But you do pay with your time, your finances, like, you pay
in that respect.
Your emotion, yeah.
But you do pay. You don't, I was saying you don't pay like cash dollar.
Cash money.
But yeah, 100% you pay in those ways. So it's like, you want to make sure that you're regularly, like, just making sure that it's, you know, in tip-top shape. So yeah. Okay, guys, so this is a segment that we keep forgetting about doing, but we know, but it's like we get so into the episode and then time runs out. But it is,
you just yap a lot.
Exactly. That's all we got a podcast. But it's TFE, so that stands for
thoughts, feelings and experiences.
And we just basically talk about our thoughts, feelings and experiences for the week just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, Isinta, what is your TFE?
So my TFE of this week is praise. Because obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and he is risen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mine would be, I think I've said it before, but I feel like gratitude and resilience, those two. Because I feel like, stay grateful for what you have and what you have going on, and be aware of the successes. Exactly. But keep striving, no matter the adversities, no matter the hardships. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, always.
Yeah, guys. I guess that's how people felt on the Saturday, where the Lord, you know, he died on the Friday, Saturday, like, bim, Sunday, it was again. So I guess on the Saturday, people were grateful, yeah, but somewhat had, like, pushed for like, nah, he said that he will rise again, like he will rise.
Maintain stees, that type vibe. You see them hit it from time, guys. Come on, we always have to maintain stees. But yeah, guys, comment down your tiffy
for this week
below.
Please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We want to see what you guys have been thinking, feeling, and experiencing. Yeah.
Okay, guys, we thank you for listening. We thank you for tuning in. Please do not forget to like, share, and subscribe. For our audio listeners,
give us a 5-star rating, leave a cheeky review. You know,
just a small one.
Yeah, guys, we'll see you next time. Bye.
And that's been the years in between.